This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. While Newt Gingrich is leading the Republican Revolution, his sister Candace is urging gays and lesbians to come out of the closet and send a message to Congress that it's time to end discrimination against gays. Candace Gingrich is on a 51-city tour in her capacity as the spokesperson for the National Coming Out Project of the Human Rights Campaign Fund, the largest gay rights group in the U.S. Before she became a gay rights activist last November, she worked as a computer consultant and sorted packages at UPS. Candace is much younger than Newt. He was already married and a father when Candace was born in 1966. Newt has a different birth father, but Candace's father adopted Newt when Newt was 7. By the way, Candace pronounces her last name Gingrich. She says Newt changed the pronunciation after moving to Georgia, where everyone else pronounced it Gingrich. I spoke with Candace Gingrich this morning and asked if it was a difficult decision to become a gay rights activist while her brother was Speaker of the House.
It wasn't difficult at all. I had been waiting pretty much for the opportunity to finally get out there and do something for a very long time. Prior to last November, I kind of had, I call it my self-imposed don't ask, don't tell policy, that it would probably really upset and tick my family off if I were to go public, you know, i.e. call a press conference or, you know, have an interview, an exclusive somewhere, and you know, become have it become nationally known that I was a lesbian. But I felt, and I'm not sure, I haven't talked to them to see if it made a difference or not, but I felt that if someone were to come to me and ask me, someone from the press, from the media, that that would be different. So I couldn't have been happier when I was asked if I was gay last fall.
Who asked you?
It was a woman from the Associated Press who had come up to do some background information on Newt and saw a photo of me from college, and I have a crew cut, and I guess she made some presumptions, and after interviewing me, asked the question.
And you said?
I said, yes, I am.
And what changed after that?
Well, nothing really started changing. You know, I had a couple people call for interviews here and there. The biggest thing that changed that happened was that people from the Human Rights Campaign Fund called me up and asked, and we had lunch, and it was actually the executive director, the new executive director, and the communications director who talked with me, and I told them what I was concerned with, you know, what happened in November and why it, you know, why the change in the House and the Senate concerned me, frightened me, scared me, all the other adjectives. They asked if I would be interested in being the spokesperson for the project, for the National Coming Out Project. And I was just delighted and honored that they would, you know, think that I was worthy of that just from my few public appearances or whatever. So,
did you consult your family first, your parents?
No.
or your brother?
No. No, it's nothing actually I've ever really done. I was 28 at the time, and it was pretty much good on making my own life decisions. Life decisions anyhow, not like where to eat or anything like that. I'm bad at that. But.
So what was your brother Newt's reaction when you officially became a gay activist?
I really have no idea. I mean, as far as his personal reaction, we've heard, I believe from his press secretary that he was pleased as punch, and these are his press secretary's words, that I was joining the Human Rights Campaign Fund. So that's what his public opinion was, and I don't know what
Did you take that at face value, or did you take that as an ironic statement, a sarcastic statement?
Well, maybe not sarcastic, maybe just a little hint of condescension, but still, it was, you know, it was nice.
When did your brother Newt first find out that you were gay?
That was back when the family found out, which was in, would have been like the summer of 87, when my mother and I had, you know, our first talk, and then she pretty much went and told everyone else in the family. I didn't do it. I let her talk to them.
Why did you want her to do it?
I didn't even want her to do it. She just did it, and it was. I figured they would find out eventually. It wasn't anything that I felt a need to, like, tell everyone, because I knew she would tell them anyhow.
I think a lot of people who think of themselves as being opposed to homosexuality and gay rights, when they actually know somebody who's gay, they don't necessarily dislike that person because of their homosexuality. And I you know, it's really the position of your group that it's harder mm-hmm. to be anti-gay once you know someone who is gay. What effect did you think, or if you thought about this, that your homosexuality would have on your brother, Newt Gingrich?
I have no idea. You know, it obviously hasn't had any. You know, it may in his private life, but so far as, you know, as a politician, as the leader of the so-called Republican Revolution, he's, you know, continued the anti-gay rhetoric that has been so popular in the party in the past. So
your brother Newt is 23 years older than you. That's mm-hmm. that's a big difference. And your father is his stepfather.
Mm-hmm.
Were you ever close?
We never even lived in the same house together. I don't think the word close is appropriate. You know, for the most part, we've seen each other a couple times a year.
What are family gatherings?
Family
holidays?
Gatherings. When I was younger, there were a few times that we went down to Georgia and spent with he and his daughters, going to Six Flags, doing that kind of stuff. A few times that we've gone down to the district and done the usual Washington sightseeing things, but I don't think close can apply to, you know, a relationship like that.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Candace Gingrich, and she's spokesperson for the Human Rights Campaign Fund's National Coming Out Project. She's the half-sister of Newt Gingrich. Let me back up a little bit in your story. When did you realize that you were a lesbian?
Well, I didn't actually acknowledge it until I was in college, until I was about 20. I mean, I had certainly had feelings prior to that. I mean, as early as, you know, going to Girl Scout camp and finding one of my camp goers to be attractive. And I remember thinking to myself that was an interesting feeling to be having, but never really thinking about it any further than that. You know, because once you leave Girl Scout camp, you never see that person again, basically. But I felt different. I felt, but it was never in a bad sense. I always considered myself different in a special way, that there was something that I wasn't quite getting. and that lasted, you know, all the way until I guess it was my third year in college when I became friends with a group of women who were out and were open and very, you know, happy and proud and comfortable with who they were. And it kind of took being in that situation, that setting, for me to say, you know, this feels right. This is okay. I'm not the only one. And this is that information or that understanding that I've been on the verge of, you know, for the past, you know, like 10 years of my life.
I think for a lot of people, when they're in that kind of in-between period when they think maybe they're gay and they're not really sure, that they're particularly impressionable about, you know, signals that they're picking up from the larger culture about
yeah.
what it means to be gay.
Yeah.
Now, your brother is one of those people in that larger culture who was putting out signals about what gay is, and the signal was it's not very good. Did that have an impact on you when you were trying to figure out your sense of yourself?
Actually, at that time in my life, I was paying absolutely no attention to what Newt was doing, socially, economically, anything with his career. I mean, I was in college myself. There were a lot of other things. Plus, I became numb to it because, you know, I talk about this often. My mother's very, very proud of him, and she talks about him incessantly. Well, not incessantly, a lot. And although some people have attributed it to jealousy, I just, you know, personally got tired of it. And as a reaction to that, didn't pay attention at all to what he was doing. So actually, I think more than anything, there are two things that influenced my not understanding soon enough. Well, three, okay. One was not having anyone that I thought I could talk to about it, mm-hmm. Whether it be a school counselor or anyone in my family. I just really didn't feel like there was anyone who would understand. Two, being an athlete, one of the only really negative memories or images that I have is that the homophobia that exists in women's athletics, and how overly fearful that some of the people on the teams that I played on, the girls were, you know, that they would be perceived as lesbian. And so that definitely wasn't a positive thing. And just the other one being that the people that I knew that were lesbians, prior to the ones that I met in college, they had jobs, they were already established, and they weren't out because, you know, you can be fired for being gay or lesbian, and that was a fear that they had, so they weren't actually comfortable with who they were. So it took that you know, that college atmosphere and those people being in it who were free for me to realize that it was okay.
So how did your parents find out that you were gay?
Well, my mother found the Lavender Letter, which is a central PA lesbian newsletter, in my room. Uh-huh. And brought it to me and showed it to me and, you know, wanted to know if I was trying to tell her something.
Were you?
I didn't leave it out. It wasn't like I left it on my bed. It was like stuffed away. You know.
Was she going through your stuff?
Pretty much so. That's not that she was like, you know, rifling through my belongings, but, you know, mom snoop. Most of them do, that they all do that. So, I don't remember consciously doing it or even caring if she found out or not, but she did and brought it to me and, you know, and we had a discussion about it and pretty much she's, you know, the victim of society and the stereotypes that prevail about gay and lesbian people.
So what was that discussion like?
Well, it was basically a, you know, just her not understanding, you know, how could this happen? Well, mom, it's, you know, there's nothing we could do. You know, this is the way I am. I've had these feelings for a very long time. Well, whatever happened to you? Well, nothing happened to me, mom. This is who I am. This is, what did your father and I do wrong? You didn't do anything wrong. This is a good thing. This is fine. I'm glad we're having this conversation. And the inevitable. Well, are you sure that you just haven't met the right man yet? And it's, for me, I thought it was very, you know, I tried to help her understand. And, you know, I thought that it was, you know, not that she did understand explicitly, but at least I knew that she accepted me, you know, and it didn't change the way that she felt about me.
Did she accept it in the sense of tolerating it, or did she actually turn a corner and become supportive of you?
I guess probably if I have to pick one of those two choices, she probably just was tolerant of that aspect of my life. I kind of hate using that word because it's become so, you know, considering the comments that Newt has made about tolerance, it isn't exactly the best word to use. But, you know, one of the things I told her back then was that, you know, well, at least you don't have to pay for a wedding. Mom, and she said since then many times that she would rather pay for the wedding. So, yeah, she can still pay for a wedding. I'll just be marrying a woman. That's all. Okay, I'll tell her that. She'll be happy.
I wonder if, I don't know if you know this or not, but, you know, if your mother feels like she has divided loyalty now on the issue of gay rights, because, you know, on the one hand, her son Newt is not exactly out campaigning for gay rights, and on the other hand, her daughter is gay and is campaigning for gay rights. So does she take sides?
I haven't actually ever discussed it with her. I haven't sat down, you know, and said, you know, Mom, do you realize that I'm right and he's wrong? I haven't brought that up yet. I think that even if she does would have feelings like that, I'm not sure that she would share them with me because she wouldn't want to be, you know, on one side versus the other side. I think that, you know, she probably tries her best just to be a mom and to love us both in whatever endeavors that we're involved in.
Candace Gingrich is my guest, and she is the sister of Newt Gingrich. They pronounce their names differently. She's spokesperson for the Human Rights Campaign Fund's National Coming Out Project. Candace Gingrich came out as a lesbian, close to a year ago? Came out publicly.
We'll say nationally. Well, okay, yeah, publicly. About a year ago. Well, no, it wasn't even a year. 6 months. November, whenever that was.
Okay. Well, let's take a short break.
Sure.
And then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Back with Candace Gingrich. She is Newt Gingrich's sister and spokesperson for the Human Rights Campaign Fund's National Coming Out Project. Is there any message that you think your brother should take away from the fact that his sister is a lesbian?
Well, I mean, he actually, when we met in March, One of the things that he said, he was questioned by a reporter about family values. You know, he and I are, and my other sister, Rob, are sitting out, you know, on the balcony. And a reporter said, you know, Mr. Gingrich, last fall you campaigned on a platform to return to traditional family values. How can you justify having a sister who's a lesbian? And Newt said a really great thing. He said, well, this is the American family in all of its complexities. And I think that is a message that he, as well as the rest of the country, can really learn a lot from. For a very long time, we've been kind of an invisible population, and the prevailing myth has been, you know, we, you know, live under rocks and come from bad, dysfunctional, you know, whatever kind of families. And, you know, I think this shows a lot of people and should show him that we have worth, we have value, and we deserve, you know, to have the same rights that other people do, that non-gay people enjoy. And so that's, you know, that would be a good message that he can take away from it.
I imagine that now you've been carefully following your brother's statements that have to do with homosexuality. What are some of the things that he's said that you think are most damaging to the cause of gay rights?
That would imply that there are things that have been good. Well, I mean, some of the things are particularly damaging. I remember how I felt. Actually, it was Thanksgiving dinner, last Thanksgiving. He wasn't there. It was my two sisters, their families, my mom and my dad. And one of them asked me what I thought about Newt's comment about tolerating homosexuality. And I said, you know, what are you talking about? And they told me the quote that he had said that, you know, we should tolerate it much like we tolerate alcoholism. And I was just, you know, infuriated. And, you know, in one sense, you know, you could almost look at it as a small victory to hear somebody that's a staunch ultra right-wing conservative saying that we should be tolerated, you know, as opposed to persecuted as Mr. Helms and Mr. Dornan would like us to be. But to compare it to alcoholism, to know that his version of tolerance still allows for us to be fired for being gay or lesbian, still allows for us to be kicked out of our homes, our apartments, still allows for us to be the victims of crimes without being recognized as hate crimes, that incensed me.
Because your brother is Newt Gingrich, your coming out has a news value. What message do you think people should take away from the fact that you are who you are and your brother is who he is?
Well, I mean, one thing is people are usually very curious about how this disparity, you know, could occur in a family, that there could be people with such differing views. And I think that one of the things is that I think everyone's families have different opinions among them. Some are more stronger than others. Ours, we just happen to be polar opposites, and just everyone in the country just happens to know about that. So it seems a lot more of a big issue than it really is. But the other thing is that, you know, we still respect each other. We're still proud of each other. We still love each other. And you know, if we could get that point across to some of the radical right extremists that, you know, you don't have to agree, condone, approve of who we are. Just, you know, you don't need to hate us. You don't need to discriminate against us. You don't need to, bash us at every possible opportunity. We're human beings, and we're deserving, you know, of respect that you reserve for other people.
You are a spokesperson now for the National Coming Out Project. How out were you at work before you really came out in the national arena?
Well, I don't. When people would ask me questions, I would answer them truthfully. You know, as far as, you know, what did you do this weekend? You know, I would say, well, you know, Linda and I went to the movies, who was my partner at the time or whatever. You know, I would say, well, we went out to the bar. I was in D.C. for the March on Washington, you know, whatever. I didn't wear, like, you know, I'm not a lesbian, but my girlfriend is T-shirts or anything. But, you know, certainly in my everyday conversations, I was open about who I was. Like at UPS, there's not really much opportunity to chat with people because, you know, you're supposed to be working and moving those boxes, not talking to people, so.
Did you ever go through this? Did you ever go through, well, if my being gay isn't having an impact on changing my own brother, how can I expect to change anybody else's opinion?
Well, actually, no, I never thought about it that way, Tara, because I think it's more the other way around, that it's much easier for me to talk to other people and help educate them because they don't have to worry about the radical right breathing down their necks and not, you know, withholding support in the next election year or anything like that because of their opinions. I think that that's maybe one of the roadblocks to his enlightenment is that, he has a certain, I don't want to say image, but there are certain things that they would not appreciate, they being the radical right, for somebody who is the leader of the Republican Revolution to say. And if he were to come out publicly in favor of our being treated equally, they probably wouldn't like that very much.
So you think that fear of losing some of his power base and funding is perhaps holding him back from...
I would think that that has to be a concern of his. Mm-hmm.
So you believe in your heart of hearts that Newt Gingrich is more open to gay rights than he lets on?
Yes, I think that, as I like to say, that I put him in a Barry Goldwater category. I don't put him in a Helms Dornan category. He's in the hopeful category. My only fear is that it won't be until after he's out of office that he will be able to show support.
Do you know if there's anybody in his staff whose job is to kind of follow you around and hear what you have to say so that they could do, you know, quote, damage control if necessary?
No, I don't know that. I don't know if there is or not. That's a good question, though, Terry. I'll make sure if
you're gonna look into
following
it.
Me. Yeah, I'll see if there's the same person in every city I go to or not.
Well, Candace Gingrich, thank you very much for talking with
us. Thank you, Terry. It was fun.
Candace Gingrich is the spokesperson for the National Coming Out Project of the Human Rights Campaign Fund, a gay rights group based in Washington, D.C. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.